I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have all sorts of stuff for you today. We've got a sports report from the Camp Hill Media Group, and we'll hear about a dance event Saturday at Olana. Plus, we've got the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network, this is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is Kendall Mead of Mascot, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
There are primary elections for local officials this month, with voting taking place from June 17th to June 27th. In Greene County, there is only one primary election. Republicans in New Baltimore decide between two candidates for highway supervisor, Robert P. Van Etten and Alan W. Van Warmer. In Columbia County, the Chatham Future Department has an uncontested primary in the northern Columbia County town. In New Lebanon, Republicans choose between Peter McCagg and Jeffrey Weinstock for highway superintendent. And there is also Democrat primary elections in all five City of Hudson wards. June 17th is also the last day to register to vote in the primary. June 12th is the last day for the Board of Elections to receive any application by mail or online for a primary ballot.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Neil Verma of Chicago, Illinois. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, June 16th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that Sarah Thorne of North Carolina was indicted June 14th for allegedly stealing more than $17,000 from the Chatham Rescue Squad. Thorne worked for the squad for 20 years and worked remotely as business manager since 2015, with an annual salary of more than $100,000. Thorne was charged with two counts of third-degree grand larceny, a Class D felony, three counts of petty larceny, a Class A misdemeanor, and two counts of first-degree falsifying business records, a Class E felony. Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chaika said, quote, "Comptroller DiNapoli and his skilled and diligent team of investigators and auditors have uncovered several criminal schemes in Columbia County over the last several years. This is only the latest," unquote. Attorney Mark J. Sacco of Albany, representing Thorne, said, quote, "There is nothing that I saw in the evidence that suggests she is guilty of any crime," unquote. Read more about this at HudsonValley360.com. Maria M. Silva reports for the Times Union that the Woodstock Public Library met June 15th and voted unanimously to hold a drag storytime event after three complaints sought to cancel the event. The library posted on social media, quote, "There will be no change in plans regarding Saturday's drag story hour and sparkle party. We thank everyone in the community who voiced their support of this decision, and we hope to see you for the fun part this Saturday," unquote. The library followed its policy for complaints, with the programming committee reviewing the request to cancel the program before making a recommendation to the 11-member board, which voted. More than a dozen people spoke up in support of the event at the board meeting, with only one against, saying that he didn't think gay pride is, quote, "for children," unquote. Maria M. Silva had the full story in the Times Union. Kevin Fry reports for New York State of Politics that Republicans running for Congress in next year's elections in New York will be talking about the mayor of New York City busing migrants into other towns and cities in New York. They will not be mentioning the Republican governors of Florida and Texas who are using planes and buses to move migrants around the country for political reasons. Quote, "New York City is transporting a crisis to counties all across the state of New York," unquote, said Representative Mark Molinaro in an interview on June 15th. Molinaro, who represents the 19th Congressional District, also already has a bill that would stop Governor Kathy Hochul from sheltering migrants on state university campuses. New York Democrats are saying their concern is not politics. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, running for re-election next year, said, quote, "My concern is that there is a humanitarian crisis with families with children who are suffering deeply," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 16th. Local early morning temperatures range from 48 degrees in Steventown off to the east to 55 degrees in Kingston down to the south. Regional average soil temperature is 61 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be interesting. According to sensors, including one in Ravenna, pollen is at medium levels, but according to the fine folks at pollen.com, but not IBM's Watson, those levels should tank over the weekend after the rain passes through. What rain, you ask? Well, after some patchy fog this morning burns off, then the wheel is spun. After 11 a.m., rain chances show up. Like the last rainfall, some people might get a flooded basement and lightning strikes, while a mile down the road, it's dry as a bone and they get to show off their sprinkler system. Protect the freshly sprouted and sensitive plants you got out there, just in case. We get a high of 78 at 3 p.m. Overnight, more rain, but thunder should take a break and we hit a muggy feeling low of 56. Tomorrow stays cool and a little sticky with a high of 67 and more rain expected all day. 55 degrees overnight takes us into a cloudy Sunday with a high of 75 and a chance for some raindrops in the afternoon. Monday, similar. High of 76 with a chance for rain in the afternoon. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:15 a.m., low tide at 9:02 a.m., high tide again at 2:43 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:57 p.m. If this is the weekend rebroadcast, those are for Friday. Today's river temperature will be 70 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:18 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see the collision with the co-rotating interaction region, which I'm temporarily calling a plasma ribbon, caused a crack in our protective magnetic field, sparking G2 class storms, which are still underway. Expect fun freakiness with your gadgets. Plasma winds will be fast at 648 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently horrible, with some bands closing outright due to the impact with the plasma ribbon. There are medium chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 112, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, civil defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival shelter today.
Feels round my world. Good morning, listeners. You all listen to WGXE 90.7. It is you, a sport new reporter of sports news.
Dan?
So if you guys have been paying attention to the radio station lately, I predicted that the Nuggets would win game one by 10 points. I was off by 1 point. And then here on the radio station, I predicted that the Nuggets would win the series in five. And I was right, and I don't want anything for it. I just want to tell you guys I was right. But anyway.
Well, you want recognition. You want recognition. So let's give a round of applause for Dan.
Yeah. The Heat lose to the Nuggets in five games. I don't know what the final score was because I didn't pay attention because I fell asleep. But Jokic won the Finals MVP, and for the Nuggets, this is their first ever NBA championship in franchise history. So
in 46 years.
Yeah, 46 years.
Now, not everybody's been introduced, by the way. This is Michael. Do you want to introduce yourself?
This is Kelly.
Kelly. And
this is Matthew Rini Harrington.
And over there, here in the studio, is a silent somebody. Okay, so you will be assigned.
This is Rachel and Margaret Sherman.
So we're all here.
And I'm Dan.
And we've got two Floridians in this group. So Miami is in Florida. So I'll ask Kelly in particular, who made a prediction about the series. How do you feel about the Heat going down?
Well, I'm a bit devastated because I thought for sure that my prediction was going to be right, but according to our basketball fanatic, Dan the Man, I was dead wrong.
You said in seven, I think.
Yes.
You said the Heat would win in seven.
Yeah. Yes.
I said the Nuggets would win in six.
And I said the Nuggets would win in five.
So Dan, for the last few days, has been riding high because it was a mile-high moment, of an accurate prediction, and he is loving it. You're loving it right now, right?
Yeah. Oh, am I loving it?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Camp Hill Hudson Sports Report. This is 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that, 1, the House of Representatives censures and condemns Adam Schiff, representative of California's 30th Congressional District, for conduct that misleads the American people in a way that is not befitting an elected member of the House of Representatives.
By a vote of 224-194, a bill to censure California Democratic Representative Adam Schiff was tabled on the House floor. The bill was in response to Schiff's role in the investigations of former President Donald Trump possibly colluding with Russia to influence the 2016 election's outcome. The measure also called for Schiff to be fined $16 million and undergo a House Ethics Committee investigation. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the Indian Child Welfare Act in a 7-2 ruling. This legislation addresses Native American children being placed in non-Native homes for foster care or adoption. Tribal advocates applaud the ruling since it keeps children in their communities to maintain their culture. Writing for the majority, Justice Amy Coney Barrett said 2 centuries of precedent established congressional rights to legislate Native affairs, even family law matters. North Dakota State Representative Jamie Davis is glad to see the law remain intact.
It's just really great to see, you know, something so positive come out of the Supreme Court regarding our Indian children. It's the Indian Child Welfare Act, but big underlying issue on this was our sovereignty as well.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announced interest rate increases will be paused, though further rate hikes are likely expected later this year, as part of the Fed's plan to lower inflation to 2%. In explaining the decision, Powell said economic growth slowed in 2022, noting the trend is expected to continue. Alongside interest rates, Powell noted the Fed will also be monitoring price stability.
Price stability is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve. Without price stability, the economy doesn't work for anyone. In particular, without price stability, we will not achieve a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all.
In Montana, 16 kids have filed a lawsuit accusing state agencies and Governor Greg Gianforte of jeopardizing the next generation's right to a healthy future. A recently passed law builds on a decade-old law prohibiting the state from including actual or potential impacts that are regional, national, or global in nature in environmental reviews of big energy projects. Critics say the lawsuit is a waste of time, but Sandra Zellmer, a University of Montana law professor, says close attention is being paid to the case.
They claim that their life expectancies will be shortened, experience greater harms from wildfires, loss of river flows, food support systems that rely on water and irrigation.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We have some quick updates on stories we've been following in Alabama, Ohio, New York, and Connecticut concerning mail-in ballots and constitutional ballot questions. In Alabama, in addition to the U.S. Supreme Court throwing out racially gerrymandered congressional maps, the bill criminalizing outside assistance with absentee ballots never reached the floor before the term expired. The now-dead bill would have narrowed who could assist voters with filling out and delivering mail-in ballots and threatened voter advocacy groups with felony charges for helping. Saying the language was misleading, the Ohio Supreme Court ordered a rewording of the legislature's partisan State Issue 1, trying to increase the margin to pass future ballot measures to 60%. But democracy advocates are suspiciously watching the Ohio ballot board's rewrite for more partisan politics. The existing 50% plus one margin has been in place since 1912, and the August 8th referendum is seen as an effort to thwart a reproductive freedom ballot question expected in November. The New York legislature sent a bill expanding mail-in ballots to Governor Kathy Hochul earlier this week. Last week, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont signed a bill expanding in-person early voting, and the Connecticut legislature recently passed a constitutional ballot question to allow no-excuse mail-in voting. The ballot question goes before the voters in 2024. We have links to the details at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Did you hear that?
No.
In the beginning, I didn't think anyone could hurt you.
Yeah.
do her thing. She can't change for you. Let her be. Let her be. Let her be free. She's not strange. You can't change her. She has to do her thing. Let's sneak off on an adventure. Comes tomorrow, we'll watch the dawn. The delicate fall.
We got two guests, actually. We got a studio guest that's live, and we have a virtual guest that's on Zoom. Yeah, so we're going to try to push out all the limits of possibility in this space.
This is Michael Spencer Phillips, and he is the artistic director of something.
No? Let him tell it.
Okay. Okay. Good
he
idea.
Said something. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
I'm doing quite well. I guess I'll introduce myself quickly. My name is Michael Spencer Phillips, and I'm the co-artistic director of Site Specific Dances, which is an interdisciplinary arts company based in New York City.
That's actually the name of your group.
Yeah, Site
Specific. He thought that was a tagline.
Yeah.
It's kind of both, you know.
No, it's a pretty cool idea.
I'm the co-artistic director, and so the other artistic director is Dino Kiritsidis. And he should be joining us on Zoom shortly, I believe.
Nice.
And, he's trying to get on.
Thank you.
So we have a company called Site Specific Dances based in New York. And we are up here in the Hudson Valley doing a dance project and film project at Olana.
A dance and film project.
Yes, at the Olana State Historic Site.
Is your company normally doing both at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
So essentially the company, we create works that are live performances.
Okay.
The subject matter is always kind of either environmental or socially driven. And we make live performances. And while we are in the process, as well as the live performance, we're filming everything that we're doing. And after the fact, the work is then edited into large-scale video installations that are exhibited where we have a mixture of video,
yeah,
as well as live music, as well as live dance.
Okay. Cool.
They said burrito. So you want your mic to be like a burrito, like if you're going to eat a burrito and not if you're holding a mic.
There okay.
That's there perfect. You go. Hey, there you go. Look
all
at that.
All you had to say was burrito.
Shout out to Cat's Band for that intuitive prompt.
So you do these all over the place, I take it? All over the United States? Or?
Well, the company started.
Are you international?
We are
one
international.
One question at a time, please.
We are international.
Well, you already asked it, so I just want to make sure we plug it in and okay. get the answer before
we
move
are
on.
International. And we, so we started this company about 3 years ago.
Why? Because that's COVID, right?
It was COVID, but my career as a professional dancer was slowly coming to an end.
Where did you dance?
I danced for a company called Ryu Dance New York, based mm-hmm. in New York. I was there for 20 years. I also danced for Robert Battle's company before he became the director of Elvin Ailey, and I danced for Merce Cunningham. And so I had a long career, which
successful sounds
very
like.
For as a dancer, it's fortunate to have a long career.
Yeah, because
like
I hear that most people have, well, most dancers have a cap, right, an expiration date, so to speak.
Oh, that's a nice way to put it.
Well, it's true because it's not based on age or ethnicity. It is really just, it's not even based on the industry. It's just what happens.
It's one of these things where you can take care of your body. You
right.
can do everything right. And one injury
right.
takes you out.
Yep.
Because you train so hard and you're doing so much.
Yeah.
You're pushing the limits on your body, essentially.
For a long time.
Right.
For a long time.
So that's the expiration date I'm talking about, Tom.
And I did.
Do you?
And I did have one. I had a couple big injuries in my career. But,
Not showing up. You look really fit.
thank you.
What do you think? Injuries just pop out of the body or something?
Well, I mean, look at you. Your stomach's out. Are we doing that for injury? You walked right into that one. Sorry, Michael.
So to jump back, we are we have been doing this for three and a half years. I was kind of set and beginning my career as a more traditional choreographer, making work on stage when the pandemic broke out.
Right.
And my husband and I were in Northern Michigan, and we kind of decided to start making work that seemed a little out of the ordinary, working with moving cameras and drones. And because we couldn't have a whole group of dancers, we began choreographing on landscapes.
Cool.
And by moving the camera, can you make a landscape dance?
Oh.
Can you
That's ambitious.
That's intuitive.
Can you choreograph on a landscape?
Let me get this. So you incorporate video, but you mean the video is live as you're doing the dance and everything, or
so we just had in New York in April, we had a large performance exhibition where yes, everything gets combined: live music, live dance, and video installation.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing here at Olana will eventually be that.
I see.
But we are in the first, I guess maybe more the second stage of the project. The first stage, obviously, is research.
Right.
And right now we are
picking a location mainly.
Picking a location and studying why we feel a connection to it and why we... why we're drawn to it. And here...
Very cool.
It was... This, when you look at Olana, you see Frederick Church's greatest, landscape masterpiece.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And you look at him as an artist who went from 2D to 3D.
Yes.
Now
he transcended time. With
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm. To go 2D, 3D.
He created
3D.
A complete environment.
Yes.
Exactly.
That was the idea. I only know that because my wife's writing a book about him and a couple other architects.
Sorry, you said Dot's writing a book?
Yeah, you knew that.
No.
Yeah, it's about Thomas Jefferson, Frederick Church, and
no one
Frank
ever
Lloyd
told
Wright.
Me. I think you might have said it with crackers in your mouth because I'm definitely okay. No, I didn't hear that.
So
that's
the idea,
great.
The idea is that like Monticello, Olana, Taliesin are all of these kind of created environments. They're not, and they're all created by people of different skills, but they create this entire. And that's what you're kind of capitalizing in here, I guess, with your presentation, Olana. Because it is more than just a house or just a painter.
So much more. And how do those works of art live on? How do we continue to modernize them? How do we continue to show their relevance because of the fact that they are true masterpieces?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started our research on Olana, we looked at all of the movements that Church made when he was carving out the pathways and the meadows and planting thousands of trees, to make this almost like a painting.
Or a set, right?
Something that you can go and we, as the public now, we get to live in it.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
If we choose and if we know about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the project is to bring people to Olana that perhaps haven't been there before, don't understand all the layers to it, but it is a New York State park.
And the grounds
are free to the public.
It is.
And one of the things that fascinated me about the pandemic and the work that we do when we work in parks is that the people who visited our national and state parks, it grew exponentially. Almost,
oh, yeah.
It was about 400%.
Right. Because it was outdoors.
To the point where some of them, you can't even get a space.
It's true. They had to create virtual parking lots and all kinds of things to kind of accommodate. Yeah.
But surprisingly, many of the demographics of the people who were visiting didn't change.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so, again, we see that these places are public, and yet not everyone is getting to take advantage of them. And perhaps that's because they don't know. Perhaps that's because they don't feel welcome. And so part of the mission of this, one of the missions of this project, it has many, is about building a community around Olana that perhaps didn't exist before.
So diversity, equity, inclusion.
Yes, and that, I think, in an area like the Hudson Valley, very much includes wealth. You know, it includes diversity, equity, inclusion, and it also really includes the wealth gaps that I think exist as well. And so reaching out to the schools, the public schools, some of the community-based organizations, some of the local dance studios where students who are from the area, many of them, you know, they've never heard of Olana, and it's in their backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the actual details of what's going to happen. You're going to be there tomorrow performing? I mean, Saturday?
Saturday.
The 17th
Saturday
of June.
Yes. At what time?
So what we do for a day like Saturday is we're doing a site activation that lasts the entire day.
Cool.
So there will be pop-up dance vignettes that happen at different locations all across the grounds every hour on the hour from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. And then the dancers take a break.
Right, as they should.
Because it's a long day. And then we're having a sunset performance that audience members can all gather on the East Lawn right next to the home, and there'll be a large dance performance with live music on that lawn that is all in one place that takes, it's about a 45 or 50 minute performance, and people can bring their lawn chairs, their blankets, and all pray together for no rain.
Yeah.
The Hudson Valley, the Hudson Valley Travel Pack Kit.
Wave Farms Art Park is now open on Saturdays. Drop in for unannounced guided tours on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. or book a tour in advance on other days. Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre is the home of the Art Park with 13 installations in the Study Center, the WGXC Acre Studio, and the Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors on Saturdays receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free and tours typically last 60 to 90 minutes. Again, on Saturdays, Wave Farms Art Park is open for drop-in visits anytime from noon to 6 p.m. from June through October. Stop by Wave Farm on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m.
Thank you.
From Troy, that's Ben Saratin. The song's called Fog Rolls Out Raboon Gap from the 2021 album Cicada Waves.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. H. Rose Snyder reports in the Times Union that officials with the State Department of Environmental Conservation say that the infestation of spongy moth caterpillars is better this year. The caterpillars with red and blue spots, oversized heads, and long hairs that can irritate the skin were everywhere in 2021 and 2022. The DEC says the outbreak began in the Finger Lakes in 2020 and peaked statewide in 2021.
Last year, it was mostly confined to the Hudson Valley and Champlain Valleys, and this year was mostly in the lower Hudson Valley. Timothy McCabe, etymology curator at the State Museum, says the spongy moth caterpillars have a cycular nature. McCabe said, and I quote, "What happens is you get an outbreak in an area seldom more than a year," end quote. The invasive species arrived in Massachusetts from Europe in 1869. Now they have spread as far west as Minnesota and as far south as North Carolina, according to the U.S. Fish and Forest Service. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Representative Paul Tonko unveiled legislation last week that would expand Medicaid coverage for medication-assisted treatment for addiction. The Democrat, who represents Albany County in the 20th Congressional District, says he has bipartisan backing for the bill, as members of both parties want to combat the rise of overdose deaths in the wake of the COVID pandemic. Currently, about 87% of the people with an opioid use disorder do not receive Medicaid-assisted treatment, and studies have shown treatment for addiction can reduce the risk of overdose death. Tonko said, and I quote, "Addressing the disease of addiction must include a compassionate response bolstered by the pillars of prevention, treatment, and recovery. For years, I have pushed hard to ensure that individuals living with addiction have access to the treatments they need," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Heather Bellows reports in the Berkshire Eagle that the State Department of Transportation workers began overhauling a dam between Corner Brook and Smiley's Pond in Ergmont this week. The Department of Fisheries and Wildlife and other agencies are working with the DOT to make it easier for wildlife to move between the two bodies of water in western Massachusetts. One local resident wearing a Turtle Man t-shirt, Ari Zorn, could not be happier about the work to create ramps and other critters to move from the brook to the pond. For years, Zorn has been calling state and local officials, pestering them about the dead animals at the intersection of Route 23 and Mount Washington Road. Zorn also started a nonprofit, Friends of Smiley's Pond, to raise awareness of the problem and to promote the 33 endangered species, including plants and rare birds there. Zorn is happy about the local progress, saying, and I quote, "I fight for things that have no voice," end quote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. Andrea Makel reports in Porcupine Soup that as schools let out this week, the Zoom Flume Water Park in East Durham has opened the new 316-foot Rip Van Racer water slide on June 14th. Co-owner Glenn Aragona said, and I quote, "It's a great ride, and we are so happy about it," end quote. The water park was built in 1981 by Aragona's parents, Frank and Claire Aragona. The park first opens to the public this season on Saturday, June 17th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a chance of showers, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. The temperature high will be around 77 degrees. On Friday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 2 p.m. Then showers are likely with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And on Saturday, showers with a thunderstorm also possible after noon with a temperature high near 70 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. Then a chance of showers between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
we're privateers of the public airwaves.
Beware, ye public broadcasters.
We're coming for to scuttle your scurvy membership. We'll be about as subtle as a sloop upon a slip. There ain't no damn rebuttal, waddle button up our lip. Prepare to take a dip.
We're ravaging your culture.
We're pillaging ad hoc. Don't bother to consult your stars
or talk your dandy talk. For yonder be a vulture circling with a budget hawk.
So down the planky. Audio ho ho, video ho ho. You're sinking fast, you'll never last. So stand up, ye knaves.
We're privateers,
privateers of the public airways.
We wear a patch of black over both our pirate eyes.
We'll cut you with a draconian saber down to size.
Cause we got our tobacco and our rum to subsidize.
Not to mention shakes and fries.
We're raising up our standards so you can lower yours. We'll see you slashed and slandered and abandoned on the shores.
Then sail away to grander days and blander metaphors.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Bring on the media whores.
Audio ho ho, video ho ho. You're sinking fast, you'll never last. Another blast of our bombast. So stand up, ye knaves.
We're privateers,
privateers of the public airways.
We've carved a bucket of blubber from every liberal lover.
And to the bottom, as we wish them pleasant journey.
We're gagging every elitist and every Sesame Streetist.
We're throwing Grover over,
and the same with Bert and Ernie.
We believe in the three R.
R, R,
and R.
And your many miscellanies, they haven't made a dent. Can't stop a pirate when he's in a cutthroat sentiment. We're pinching all your pennies, cause we can't afford dissent. You'll like it at the bottom, cause that's where the First Amendment went. Audio ho ho, video ho ho. We'll split asunder, rape and plunder, sender under and defunder. Hear the thunder of our blunderbuss.
We're buccaneers.
Prick up your friggin' ears.
May the market force be with ya.
Of lock and ears to us.